Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. The news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. And it's about stopping right now wherever you are and let's pray. Especially for those folks that are really struggling through this and the inappropriate leadership that we're seeing in some states right now. Father God, we just thank you for your blessings. And I just pray a blessing on each one of the folks listening right now and their families and their households. Lord, comfort those that are struggling. Give us the right words and motivations when we encounter our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling in this time. And Lord, we thank you that you always have us in the palm of your hand. Lord, that you know exactly what's going to happen, and we know how the end of the story is written. So Lord, we thank you for that. We stand on your promises right now. And Lord, you say if we take refuge in you, that we can find rest and we are protected. And so we stand on those promises as well right now. And Lord, we ask that you would turn the hearts of our leaders that are so far off right now, and they would be turned toward you and your righteousness and your justice. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As I always say, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. There's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. In Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Again, a promise. It's a promise. If God is our trust, we will have roots, we will bear fruit, even in hard times, which is what we're in right now. We are in, this is officially hard times, okay? For over 10 years, I have wanted to give you the briefing that I am going to give you today on Patriot Radio. As often happens, there is a disconnect in what people can really receive and understand in the times that we're in from times when it's not really looking like that's even possible that it might happen. But it's important to understand the enemies of the United States of America, who is coming against the United States of America. And hear it from their own mouth, from their own words. But first, before I get there, I'm going to take a moment and I want to go to Israel. Now, a lot of people argue about Israel and its place and should a third temple be built or should it not be built. Let's just focus on the facts of what's happening. So now there is a unity government in Israel, Benny Gantz and Benjamin Netanyahu. And in their deal, they actually have a clause in regards to the annexation bill. And this annexation bill has some riders on it in the Knesset, making it subject to international or at least U.S. assent. And from everything that I understand, President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo have already given assent, at least publicly, saying that they are reversing the position of the United States over the last several decades and believe that there should be an annexation into Israel of the Jordan Valley. Now, at part of that annexation in the bottom of the Jordan Valley is the site at Qumran. Now, for those of you who have listened to the show before, you know the import of that statement. Now, right as we speak, Mahmoud Abbas, who has been tied to Marxists, okay, by the way, and has been tied to Islamists, oh, by the way, has effectively said that he would dismantle the Palestinian Authority if Israel annexes 1 inch of land. Now, this is coming to us from Deb Kefauver. So by breaking up the Palestinian Authority, what he essentially would try to do is saddle Israel with the administration and care for all the civic needs of 2 million Palestinians in that territory. Well, let's call that bluff, because the money that was sent to the Palestinian Authority was not being used to care for the people. It was actually being used for jihadist activities, and there is ample evidence that that was the case and still may be the case. So that doesn't really seem to make sense. Seems to be a little bit of bluster coming out of it. But we need to keep our eyes on this. This is a big deal. July 1st. It's a big date. And if this annexation occurs, and this vote passes the Knesset, you know, there's a question of a veto, but if this annexation actually occurs, then there are going to be some pretty dramatic and significant things, and a clock will start ticking on some very important geostrategic and geopolitical issues in that area. And I'm intentionally being a little vague, and I will tell you on July 1st what those are if this annexation goes through. It's very important to keep our eyes on that. Also on the national front, I'm going to forego all the stuff about Biden because it's ridiculous. By the way, they're setting it up so Biden is not going to be the nominee. It's going to be probably Cuomo from New York. Okay. Strzok reopened the Flynn case after the FBI closed it, and now handwritten notes look like they do prove that the FBI was trying to intentionally set up General Flynn to try to catch him in a lie so he would either get fired or prosecuted. And again, that's not the purpose of the FBI. So to use it as a partisan political weapon is stunning. But the fact that not only was it used, it appears that way, there was also this reopening of the Flynn case after the FBI closed it. So it was an intentional use. I don't think there's any question about that anymore. And look, there are great FBI agents at the local level who are absolutely incensed about this. So it's going to be interesting to see if prosecutions come out of this. And there's some cryptic tweets that have been going out from people like John Solomon saying that something might be in the offing. So I guess we'll wait and see. And that brings us back to the international front and this idea of understanding the enemies of the United States of America in their own words. And I want to talk to you all today about China, which, outside of the grand satanic conspiracy that Christians talk about as the most dangerous thing, this would be the second most dangerous thing. And I agree with Joel Skousen on that assessment. Now, there are two documents that help us to understand the Chinese Communist Party mindset toward America. You can look these up online. The first is called Unrestricted Warfare. Two Chinese colonels wrote this. And this document really gives the strategy and the tactics. Now, I've mentioned some of those strategies and tactics information warfare, political warfare. In other words, trying to influence the United States politics by cozying up to their politicians. And there are some worrying ties or concerning ties between China and U.S. politicians. Disruption of the supply chain. In the 1960s and 70s, the idea behind the Marxist infiltration into the U.S. supply chain was that when the U.S. supply chain was weak, or we were weak in some other capacity, they could all of a sudden activate and disrupt our supply chain by, closing down meatpacking plants, for example. Closing down ports, for example. Having agricultural workers just leave the job and not come back. And by the way, we're actually starting to see some of this happen, right? So, in addition to that type of economic warfare, there was cyber warfare. There was also information, or more appropriately, disinformation or negation campaigns. In other words, there was this idea that we needed to negate U.S. history, culture, heritage, so that the United States would not have a mooring and would be easily conquered. That's what they believe. There was also this idea, and that was the negation part, of disinformation, or blaming the United States constantly for everything, that we were at fault for everything, and everything we did was bullying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is part of it. Now, forces inside the United States government, aka the deep state, made sure there was funding. And this goes all the way back. There was a book written about what happened during the Clinton administration. This goes back a long ways. Funding for programs that could be used against the United States. And in fact, if you read Unrestricted Warfare, it actually talks about, as well as what I'm about to discuss, the idea of using the United States against itself. So in other words, they get funding, and instead of funding things that might be for medicine or something like that, they ostensibly are for medicine, but they can be used in turn to develop, a bioweapon. The stealing of technology so that they can upgrade their military to a point where they could actually go face-to-face with the United States of America. Now, a lot of people have tried to poo-poo this, and generally speaking, these are people that really are not very educated on warfare, not educated on Marxism, not educated on the Maoist insurgency model, not very educated on the history of China either. And they try to apologize for this document called Unrestricted Warfare. But the fact of the matter is, two Chinese colonels wrote it, and it was accepted, and you could see some of the things that were recommended in the paper actually coming to fruition. So when we look at it objectively, there's no question that these were the strategies and tactics that we're going to use against the United States of America. And the problem is, we have elements inside the government right now that intentionally refuse to acknowledge that China is the threat it actually is. And a couple of weeks ago, we had Major General Paul Vallely on, who was talking about this. And I want to be... This isn't something that should scare you. This is something that should unite us as a country. And look, we have to be able to acknowledge the brutal reality of what's going on, and yet be optimistic in the end of the story. And a lot of people have a hard time doing that. So as I'm going through this, this is the brutal truth, the brutal reality. The Chinese are waging economic warfare against the United States of America. And they admit it in their writings. Why aren't we admitting it here? Well, because I think some of these deep state forces are intentionally ignoring this. They're intentionally obfuscating this. They're intentionally trying to divert people's attention away from it, make excuses so that we don't address the actual threat to the country. Why would the deep state do this? They think they know better than we do. Yeah. But also, a lot of these folks are Marxists themselves. So I want to set the stage here. There was a second document. It was actually a speech. And this speech was by General Chi Hua-Chien. Now, General Chi gave this speech, and it was reprinted by the Epoch Times in 2005, translated and then reprinted. General Chi was the Chinese Minister of National Defense from 1993 to 2003, as well as the Vice Chairman of the Chinese Communist Party's Central Military Commission. And this speech was smuggled out of China by an anti-communist and translated, like I said. Now, there are some people that are going to try and dismiss this. They're going to try and attack the veracity of this speech. But I want you to hear some of the excerpts in the speech. And these excerpts are going to resonate if you read them in the context of Unrestricted Warfare, this paper that was published by these two Chinese colonels. And see if they don't mesh, okay? One of the most interesting things about this secret speech by General Chi is that the Chinese were intending to use biological weapons to, quote, cleanse America, end quote. They were going to use trade, open trade, and the profits from that trade to enhance their military weapons program, to build it up with the intent of conquering America and killing its people and eventually ruling the world. Now, part of this was in the World Affairs Brief. And there was great commentary in there. And if you don't know the World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen writes, it's fantastic. But he had one quote in here I just want to quote, that they were more brutal and ruthless in this speech anyway than the Nazis or the Japanese ever conceived of. So let's talk about what's in this speech, what they really believe, what they're planning for. The first part of the speech talks about a survey that was done, and they said that they were intentionally hiding the true purpose of the survey. And what the central issue of this survey, this is the quote now from this speech, the central issue of this survey appears to be whether one should shoot at women, children, and prisoners of war. But its real significance goes beyond that. Ostensibly, our intention is to mainly figure out what the Chinese people's attitude toward war is. If these future soldiers do not hesitate to kill even non-combatants, they'll naturally be double ready and ruthless in killing combatants. Therefore, the responses to the survey questions may reflect the general attitude that people have towards war. End quote. Quote, if China's global development will necessitate massive deaths in enemy countries, will our people endorse that scenario? End quote. Okay, I want you to understand what this means. In that speech, he is saying that they wanted to survey their people to see if they invaded a country and then killed a large portion, and I'm talking over half the population of a country that they invaded, would the people go along with that sort of aggressive action? And it's interesting that part of the survey responses were opposed to that. And so they understood that they needed to address that issue. General Chi goes on and talks about something very interesting. Now listen carefully. quote, but many comrades tend to understand development in its narrow sense, assuming to be limited to domestic development. The fact is, our development refers to the great revitalization of the Chinese nation, which, of course, is not limited to the land we have now, but also includes the whole world, end quote. So in other words, he is advocating for world domination. Then he goes on, and this is, it's fascinating, the comparisons between this rhetoric in Nazi Germany, okay? It's fascinating, because then it gets into racial superiority, okay? Quote, this is the Chinese nation that calls itself descendants of Yan and Huang. The Chinese nation that we are so proud of. Hitler's Germany had once bragged that the German race was the most superior race on earth, but the fact is, our nation is far superior to the Germans, end quote. Goes on to talk about the idea of Chinese manifest destiny. Then goes on and says this, very interesting. Germany, quote, Germany was defeated in utter shame along with its ally Japan. Why? When we decided to revitalize based on the German model, we must not repeat the mistakes they made. Okay, wait a minute. Rewind. When we decide to revitalize based on the German model, so they're going to follow the Nazi model, we must not repeat the mistakes they made, end quote. Then he cites the fundamental causes for defeat. Quote, first they had too many enemies all at once. That's interesting. Second, they were too impetuous, lacking the patience and perseverance required for great accomplishments. Third, when the time came for them to be ruthless, they turned out to be too soft. This is referring to the Germans and the Japanese, by the way. And then continues, therefore leaving the troubles that resurface later on. So the fundamental reason for the defeats of Germany and Japan is that history did not arrange them to be the, quote, lords of the earth, end quote, for they are, after all, not the most superior race, end quote. And just so nobody is miscommunicating, he then says, and yet if we really are to make a comparison between Germany and China, then as comrade Jiang Zemin, that was a Chinese dictator, put it, Germany belongs to pediatrics, too trivial to be compared. How large is Germany's population? How big is its territory? And how long is its history? We eliminated 8 million nationalist troops in only 3 years. This will be a separate show talking about why that happened and how the U.S. had actually a role in that, unfortunately, with some deep staters. We eliminated 8 million nationalist troops in only 3 years. How many enemies did Germany kill? They were in power for a transient period of more than a dozen years before they perished. End quote. In other words, they're saying they could be better at the liquidation of large groups of people than the Nazis. An incredible statement in a speech from a Chinese general. Quote, the reason that the United States remains today is that it has never seen war on its mainland. Once its enemies aim at the mainland, these enemies would reach Washington before Congress finishes debating and authorizing the president to declare war, end quote. Then says this, and this gets kind of to the heart of it. On this basis, our ancestors, this is a quote, on this basis, our ancestors left us with the two most essential heritages, which are atheism and great unity. We are destined not to be buried by either heaven or earth. No matter how severe the natural man-made and national disasters, this is our advantage. He goes on to say, what makes us different from Germany is that we are complete atheists, while Germany was primarily a Catholic and Protestant country. Hitler was only a half atheist, end quote. quote, our Chinese society has always worshipped sages. And that is because we don't worship any God, end quote. And then says this, and I'm going to end here because I want you to remember your history. If you have never read about Nazi Germany, you need to read about Nazi Germany because some of these phrases are almost identical to the phrases put out by Goebbels and Hitler. Okay, China's primary three goals. The three lessons are, quote, firmly grasp the country's living space, firmly grasp the party's control over the nation, and firmly grasp the general direction toward becoming the Lord of the Earth, end quote. This is his words. Now, living space should, for those of you that know history, spark something that you remember called Lebensraum, or living room, that Hitler used as an excuse to mobilize a German army to invade countries around him. And here is what this general, this Chinese Communist Party general says, quote, but the term living space, Lebensraum, he actually mentions this, is too closely related to Nazi Germany. The reason we don't want to discuss this too openly is to avoid the West's association of us with Nazi Germany. Yeah. Which could then in turn reinforce the view that China is a threat. Yeah. And then he says this. Therefore, in our emphasis on He Jin's new theory, human rights are just living rights. We only talk about living, but not space, so as avoid using the term living space. To solve this problem, we must lead the Chinese people outside of China so that they could develop outside of China. Okay, so what he's advocating is the invasion of other countries. And just so that we are all clear, he then makes it unmistakable that his target is America. And that to preserve the Communist Party, quote, whether we can forever represent the Chinese people depends on whether we can succeed in leading the Chinese people out of China, end quote. In other words, they believe the survival of the Chinese Communist Party is invading other countries. And this general's writing about this. And that's probably going to be overwhelming to a lot of you. And I'm going to continue on this on the next show because it is so outrageous. Now, I will tell you the last line of this speech, just to put an exclamation mark on this. The last line of this speech is, quote, Marxism pointed out that violence is the midwife for the birth of China's century. As war approaches, I am full of hope for our next generation, end quote. That's the last line of his speech. Why was this never talked about? Why has this not been first and foremost in our geostrategic policy? And it's not like this is the only speech. Again, read in the context of other documents becomes clear. I'm going to go through the rest of that on the next show. But what I would like you to do, if you have the opportunity, is read it. It's called The Secret Speech of General Qi. Okay? And I hope that you understand that America needs to look at reality, the brutal reality that's out there, but have optimism for the end of the story. We need to act now. And this is yet another reason that we must do two critical things. First, our businesses need to reopen. Second, we need to really start looking at our cybersecurity and how to avoid censorship of the deep state operatives and their corporate proxies like Facebook so that we can get this truth out to the American people, and this will bring us together, unify us around the Constitution as Americans. And socialism will then go into the appropriate dustbin of history. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And remember, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, southern part of the arena in downtown Spokane, and then there's a march to the courthouse, Freedom is the Cure rally. Have a whole bunch of great speakers and community leaders that are going to be there. And this is unifying a lot of folks with one message, and that is very simple, that our county elected officials need to stand with the businesses that are going to begin reopening despite the governor's order. The governor has now said that he is going to extend this order indefinitely until there's a cure. Yeah, that's not freedom. That's tyranny. We need to stand against it. All right. Again, go to iTunes and Podbean if you miss these. It takes us a day to get it up on the podcast, Podbeans and iTunes. So just be patient with that, and you can get it up. You can get it up on those two sites. You can also listen to a replay 9 o'clock every Tuesday and Thursday. It's replayed on the ECN network. All right. Speaking of trying to allow for freedom of speech and also not being deplatformed by things like Facebook, I wanted to bring on Alyssa Desansik, who is the founder and creative director of Sphere, which is a new platform. I'm not going to give everything away. A new platform that I think is going to allow a lot of people freedom. She is the founder, like I said. She's also a mom and just a regular person who said, I got to do something, and that's what I love most about you. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Representative Shea. I just am so thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So you've been working on this for quite a while. If you could just briefly tell the listeners about your story, kind of how, what the genesis of this was, and then I want to get into some specifics about what it is and how people can get connected.
Sure. About 15 years ago, I went through a cancer diagnosis and treatment, and both of my parents were also having their own health issues. And what I found during that time frame was that it was very difficult for us to find the things that we needed, the resources, the information, and so on and so forth. And then not only to find it, but then to organize it and then act upon it. And so we lost valuable time and money in some parts of that process. And it aggravated me to the point where I thought, you know, my goodness, if there were only a place where I could have gone to look at the wisdom of other people. People had been there and done that before, those same scenarios that we were going through, and there just wasn't a place to hold that wisdom. And so that that started this last 12 years of my life, this journey that I've been on to create not only a space for that and a safe space, but also some of the more technologically advanced features and additions that we've made over the past year or so that would allow people to come together to exchange their wisdom and then keep that wisdom in an organized fashion and then be able to pay it forward as well. So that is sort of, in a nutshell, what happened was I just felt like there should be a better way of doing these things that we do in life and learning from each other.
You know, I haven't experienced Facebook censorship a lot. But what I did notice was 5 years ago, we could post generally to an audience of 250,000 people on a regular basis, no problem. And then over the years, it went down to about 2,500, but then that group understood what was going on and could project back out to the 250,000. But the problem was it was this constriction that was happening. It was intentional. We could see it coming. But then last week, Facebook actually pulled down an event, a protest against everything that's going on here in Washington State and against Governor Inslee and his unconstitutional policies. They pulled it down, they censored it, and gave no reason. I got no notice. Nobody contacted me. Nobody asked me to revise it. Nobody did anything. They just pulled it down and censored it. As a state representative, arguably that's illegal because you're beginning to interfere in the duties of a state representative. But for other people, they can't really say that. They're just trying to let their opinion be known. What have you heard from normal, average, everyday folks about where social media and these big tech corporations are headed? And, you know, if you could share a couple stories, if you have them, because I think it's important for folks to understand it's not just, you know, me getting censored. There are a lot of people across the internet that are.
Yeah, and this goes, for me, it goes back to the whole arena of health, because we as a family have, you know, been through some things just like every family. And when I have in the past decided to explore those things and talk about those things and perhaps, you know, research and post that research, I've been blocked on other social media platforms for just having discussions, talking about, you know, I have a diagnosis of Lyme disease. And so there have been some of those things that have actually been blocked, strangely. And then you get involved in other immune system type issues and vaccines and things like that. And my feeling on that is that the more conversation we can have, the better. It is the scientific process to continue to hypothesize and come to new conclusions and find new ways of dealing with certain things. And they have, and I don't think I need to name any names because I think we all participate in the same type of forums, but the information that I found the most valuable tends to not stay there very long. And whether that's coming from me or other people that I know and trust and respect and want more additional data from, it tends to not exist there for very long. And so that is actually part of what we've done. Is that wasn't necessarily a battle that I wanted to fight. But over the last couple of years, it's become very clear to me and to my partners that we had to build in some mechanisms to stand up for the right to freedom of speech. I mean, that is just foundational to every part of the way that we live our lives. And so that needed to be a part of what we created here. And so as we've seen this happen more and more and more frequently out there, that was something that we incorporated into our system.
So you're a small business owner, you have a BA in journalism and communications. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of this. What, because you can't really compare Sphere to anything else. I mean, there is nothing out there like it. What does it entail? Why is it so radically different? And why will it be so radically helpful to a lot of Americans who are looking for that place that they can go for an alternative social media source?
Sure. In a nutshell, if you want to try to maybe picture in your own mind, if you were to combine the certain aspects of your favorite social site, some of the things that search engines do, layer in some e-commerce options, and then also add some video capabilities, that is sort of the set of features that we are giving you in Sphere. So that is more on the technical side of things. That's what you get. The core of the site, though, comes back to this whole issue of knowing that you're going to get better information from your friends and others that you trust within your community, as opposed to going out onto the internet in general or anywhere in life and just throwing up a question somewhere and hoping that you get something back that is meaningful to you and perhaps doesn't include some advertising budget behind it. And so what we've done, again, in the core of the site is we've got a couple of technological mechanisms, which I'll describe, and we've also got this this philosophy that we don't need to tell you what you should be reading and looking at. We'll let you decide who you want to talk with and what you want to see. in your feed and in your groups and so on and so forth. But it's really a customized space. So we don't manipulate the content. We don't allow advertising, direct advertising in any way. We do not collect anybody's data. No individual data is collected, nor is it stored or sold or any of that. Our users are not a commodity. I'm user number one, and I would never sell myself to get a financial gain from that, and so I will never sell anybody else as well. And so that was something that we wanted to fix. And then on top of that, from a tech perspective, the way that the system works is, number one, all of the default settings in the site are set to private. So you pick and choose what you want to show and to whom you want to show it. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is, we do have a patent that's on our search mechanism, which allows for the interaction of your friends and the people who you select to connect with to be able to interact with the content in the site. And then when you're searching for something, their interaction with the content is actually going to push that content up to the surface above all of the other random, you know, maybe stuff that you might think of as more noise. And so you don't get access to information that is maybe less relevant to you. You get to understand what your people, your friends, your community is saying and thinking about and what they're elevating within the site. And there's no other tech aspect of it that puts some content above other content like you see elsewhere.
So let's kind of break this down a little bit. So a lot of people love LinkedIn because you can list all of your, you know, it's effectively a running resume that you don't have to keep going back and fixing. It's just up there. You just need to update a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. You can put pictures on it, links and everything like that. Is Sphere going to have something very similar to that, for that ability for people who are maybe looking for a job, or people who are looking for an employee, or people who are just trying to see what the experience and background of somebody is putting out information? Is it going to have that capacity?
Absolutely. And so the way that we work is, we are, as you said, we're a startup, we're a small team, we're bootstrapped. We're not at anybody's under anybody's thumb, so to speak. It's just ourselves, which makes it harder in some ways and a lot better in other ways. But the way that we work is, we do 2-week what are called sprints, and every 2 weeks you see new features and new improvements, and you know, we fix things and make it just better on an ongoing basis. And so this piece that you're talking about here, which is your homepage, your area, your space within the site, that is being enhanced right now. We're actually going through the first of 3 sprints that are going to allow you to do much, much more with your own what you would maybe call a homepage. We call it a frequency because it's your radio signal out to the rest of the sphere, and it's also, you can capture incoming signals and communications from anybody that you want to in the sphere. You own your own space, and you are going to be able to very soon continue to build upon what's already there, which also includes, you know, your profile and your information and your feed and your comments and your library and all of the other stuff that we already offer to you there. So yeah, it's very exciting, and I think over the next month or so, you're going to see some things that are pretty cool.
Well, I love the idea, too, that not only can you have kind of this customized, detailed profile, but also you could actually have your business web presence on Sphere as well, which has, you can have total interactive ability, both through video and audio, but you could also be monetizing some of this. You could have products online eventually as well. So tell listeners a little bit about the business aspect.
Sure. The e-commerce side of the site, and that feature set, is Right now, we have completed all of our work on the digital e-commerce, which means that if you are a creator, if you write something digital, you know, perhaps a blog or e-books, if you are into videos or podcasts and you do want to monetize any of that content, our solution here is just turnkey. It is super easy. We allow you up to the same levels of storage capacity for free that Google does. And then with all of that storage, there's no fee to use the site either. And I don't think I mentioned that, but it's free to use the site. And then you come in, put your content in there, and within minutes, you can actually put a price tag on it and start selling to whoever your audience is. And it's a sort of a free commerce option that is there. Coming up in a short period of time, I can't put a date on it yet, but we're also adding in physical commerce, so that would mean products of different kinds. I like to think of it as an easy way for small businesses to connect with the people who they know and to also have a really low, I mean, I would say it's super competitive rate because that's the only way that we actually take in any revenue is we have a very small transaction fee that's put on top of any of the sales that happen in the site, but that's basically the only way that we make revenue. So it's convenient. It costs you nothing to sign up, and we've got a whole team of people that are ready and waiting to make sure that you understand exactly how to use the site to get your products into the site, whether they're digital or physical. And I think it's going to be really, really neat for people to be able to use that so conveniently.
Well, let's talk a little bit about video and audio. I mean, I've already been censored now. Some video, some audio is being censored across the internet right now as well. What is the video audio capabilities going to be for Sphere? And then also, how could people be sure that they're not going to be, you know, censored or deplatformed, you know?
Yeah, so we've had probably hundreds of hours worth of discussion. You're an attorney, so you understand, the negotiations that you have to go through in order to figure out where you fit. And so we originally had said, we're not censored at all. But what I realized shortly thereafter was there are platforms out there that are not censored at all, and they have a lot of stuff in them that is, it really goes against my own personal ethical standards. And so I'm not okay with that. So what we ended up doing is we drew a line on any sort of illegal activity, of course, that would be removed mm-hmm. from the site, and the corresponding accounts would also be removed from the site immediately. And then any sort of malicious action. So that would mean, somebody going in there truly being there just to troll and just to do, bad things. So our terms of use actually looks maybe more daunting than it is. It just means be a relatively decent person. Sure, show up, debate people. And have your conversations and put your information out there and do the things that you need to do. Just be relatively respectful of the fact that this is a space that's meant to be a little bit more of a solutions-oriented space than a typical social media platform. However, beyond those couple of big sort of bullet points, I will not censor. I have the virtual sole ownership of this decision, and I will not censor. I am a proponent of truth and the First Amendment, and it is so critical that we, from my perspective again, is that everybody is able to bring their own information, their own thoughts, their knowledge, their wisdom to the table so that we can all sort through it and so that we can all understand where other people are coming from if we're open to it, and if not, then you have to live and let live. So that's where I stand, and I guess, there's a piece of that I think people are just going to have to come in and check it out and get to know me a little bit, because that's where some of these guidelines come from. And I'm the daughter of a police detective who served in the military. He was both a Marine and in the Army for 4 years, and He, with every ounce of his being until the day that he passed, he was all for freedom, all for this country, and I will not do anything to jeopardize another person's ability to say what they have to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between having an honest debate and in somebody using it as a tool to oppress somebody else or, right. you know, child pornography or something like that.
Yes.
Very quickly, too, if you could talk about how information, you know, works there and how it is, it can be kept separate. I'm trying to be vague intentionally, kept mm-hmm. separate from, you know, somebody else's information or somebody else's product or somebody else's creation. How does that work there? And you know, how does the library thing you have set up work there as well?
Yeah, so this again is, it goes back to one of our patents. What we call, what essentially are bookmarks in the site, we call them cards. And these cards are created by real users, and they can hold a bookmark for anything from a digital piece of content like an article or a study, a video, what have you, all the way over into the physical realm, which it would be a business or a product or something like that. And so this goes back to my thought on collected wisdom. So we have a library that's accessible by everybody in the site. That's a public library of all of these cards. And then what you have in your own account is you have a library as well. It's a private library, and you can set up folders of these cards, and then you can batch these cards together. So it's sort of along the lines of a Pinterest, except our cards are not just images. They are actually multi-layered micro websites that include a whole bunch of extra information, and you can do some really neat things with them. But we have a copy in the public website of each of these cards, and then you have as many copies and folders and everything in your own library with each of these cards that you want to keep. Then again, also in a regular account or in a business account, you can actually create your own cards that you claim, like your show. You could put a podcast of your show or your videos or any of your other products into these cards. It's very easy to do. You can monetize or not monetize. It's up to you. And then these cards exist now out in the public library. So everybody else can find them if they're looking for them, and they can share them amongst their friends and family. And it's really just this network of trusted resources.
And they can't be altered either, which I think is so critical to understand.
Yep. So the cards that are claimed, meaning your own content, cannot be altered. You own that. That is 100% your content. We can't alter it as a company. We can remove it, you know, like I said, based on the legality of it. But beyond that, you own your own content. And that is, it's up to you who sees it. It's up to you who interacts with it. And then you can, of course, add the different layers of business capabilities to it if you want to. And then the one thing that has really been the best thing that for me personally is that, you know, I now have folders full of content that I can pay forward on the topic of Lyme disease, for example, on the topic of the type of cancer that I had, on the topic of the few things that I know something about in this life. I've collected, I think, pretty good information. I've curated it, and I've taken some time to work with it, and now my friends and other people can come along if I've given them access to those folders, and they can, in one second, in one click, they can take that whole entire folder of content and move it over into their own account or share it with a friend who may need that information. And it's no more difficult than that. And so it's really a way of drilling down into the things that are most meaningful to people and the best resources that we all come across collectively, putting them into these little bookmarks, which is very, very easy to do, and then just exchanging them and organizing them in a way that actually will benefit all of us as a whole.
Okay, we've got about 2 minutes left, so quickly, if you could tell people where they can go to find out more about Sphere and then also about the app as well.
Sure. So we are a web application right now. So you would go to your favorite browser. You type in to the URL bar www.sphir.com.
Piece of cake. And are you going to have something for mobile phones coming up?
We are working on a native mobile application right now.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Alyssa, thank you so much. This is so refreshing, something that is so timely with all of the censorship happening right now in real time, that people kind of had put off before, but now it's affecting their lives. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for everything you guys are doing. I'd love to have you back on again, and we'll make sure to put this up on the website as well and on the Facebook page, even though it is a Facebook page. We'll advertise Sphir, okay?
We're not blocked anymore on Facebook, which is great. But very good luck with your rally. I appreciate your work, and thank you so much for having me today.
All right, blessings to you guys. All right, Sphir, SPHIR.com, SPHIR.com. Go check it out. Again, it's a combination of LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, a business application site, pretty much everything else, too, and a library on top of that so that information can be shared. And oh, by the way, people only see what you want them to see. And you only see what you want to see. And you don't get this spammy atmosphere like you get with other social media sites. Number one. Number two, you can truly network with like-minded folks. And again, rebuild what Facebook used to be. And that was a networking site to get information to massive swaths of people that were like-minded across the board. Get that information out. It's not censored. It can't be altered. And, oh, by the way, it means liberty. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Again, I'm going to be continuing on the Chinese general speech, General Qi. And if you get the opportunity, read it for yourself. May God bless all of you. And we are the greatest generation. Let's make it happen.